I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm in church and I just think this is going too quickly. I just want it to last longer. Maybe it's just me. I'm having one of those mornings. It's great to have you with us here this morning. Maybe halfway through my sermon, you won't be thinking, this is great. I wish it would just last long. Anyway, don't worry about that. We're in Luke chapter 5. We're looking at verses 27 to 32. Like I said, the kids are going to be looking at it upstairs as well. It has long been my ambition for us as a church to all be looking at the same bit of the Bible every week. And I hope we can make the most of it. Like I said, there are going to be questions on the screen at the end. I hope we can make the most of our kids coming back and asking them what they've been thinking about and learning stuff from them and us sharing what we've been learning too. So let's make the most of it over the summer and we'll be doing our best to do it more often in the future as well. I wonder if you can remember a time when you were really sick and got better. And I wonder if you can remember how it feels to get better. Maybe you broke a leg or an arm and it was in a cast for weeks, maybe even months, and then came the day the doctor cut it off and you were free and you could use it again and you could get back to normal life. Do you remember how that feels? Maybe there was a time you had to go to hospital for days, maybe even weeks. I wonder if you remember how it feels to be discharged, to be able to go outside again, breathe fresh air, see the sky, sleep in your own bed, eat good food. A long time ago, I spent 3 summers in Thailand with a mission agency called OMF. And in my third summer there, they asked me to help host a team of students that was coming out from America. So I met them at the airport. I took them to their hotel and I helped them unpack. And I remember laughing with them because they were only staying for a week or so, but I reckon they'd had more medicine with them than the local hospital. Anyway, they unpacked, and when they were sort of refreshed and a bit ready, I took them into town and showed them around, and that evening took them to a Thai restaurant. The food was, as always in Thailand, absolutely delicious. But that night, back in the hotel, I was the sickest I can ever remember. Apologies for the details, but I think I threw up 14 times before passing out on the bathroom floor, which is where one of the team found me the following morning, and they spent the rest of the week, or I spent the rest of the week, in that hotel being nursed back to health, having all the medicine that they had brought with them for the week. It was horrible. I think it's the worst the sickest I've ever been. But I also remember how wonderful it was that morning I woke up and felt better and went back outside and enjoyed feeling well again. Friends, I think that feeling is how Jesus wants you and me to leave church this morning. Feeling like that. I think that's the message of Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 32. So let me pray that God would help me to explain it and us to believe it, and that we would know the joy this morning of being healed. Let me pray for us as we begin. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning. We thank you that we can be together. We thank you that both upstairs and downstairs, we can have your word open in front of us and hear you speak to us. So please, Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to believe and the will to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over the summer, we're going to be looking at 6 people whose lives were changed when they shared a meal with Jesus. And the first person who did that was a man called Levi. Have a look at Luke chapter 5, verse 27, it says, after this. So we have to ask, well, after what? So look back at verse 17. In verse 17, Jesus we're told, was in a house teaching a crowd of people, which included some of the religious leaders of the time who were called Pharisees and teachers of the law. And whilst he was teaching this crowd of people, a group of men arrived carrying a friend of theirs, a paralyzed man who was on a mat. Now, they wanted to bring the man, to their friend, to Jesus, because they had heard that Jesus could heal people. But there were so many people in the house, they couldn't get in. So they climbed up onto the roof, which was flat back then. They dug a hole and they lowered their friend on his mat down through the ceiling in front of Jesus. And then Jesus did something amazing. Have a look at verse 20. It says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, your sins are forgiven. He didn't heal the man's legs. He forgave the man's, sins. Now, sin is the Bible's word to describe our natural attitude towards God. Sin is that part of us that says, I don't have time for God. Sin is the attitude that says, I don't want to listen to God. I don't want to worship him. I don't want to even stop and thank him for my life. I want to live my life my way. Sin ruins our relationship with God. And when the paralyzed man was lowered through the roof in front of Jesus, Jesus forgave his sins, which shocked everyone. First of all, it shocked the man and his friends because they wanted Jesus to heal his legs. But Jesus wanted to show them that what he really needed and what we all really need more than anything else is a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it also shocked the Pharisees and the teachers of the law because they knew that no one can forgive sin except God. No one can forgive someone for the way they've treated God apart from God himself. But of course, that's what Jesus was also trying to show them. He was trying to show them that he is God, so he can forgive sin. And to prove it, Jesus did something else that only God can do. Look at the second half of verse 24. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we've seen remarkable things today. After this, verse 27, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Do you see? The atmosphere was already electric. People were already amazed. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were already furious. Jesus had just claimed and proved that he is God and that he can forgive sin. And what does he do next? Well, he went out and he found the biggest sinner he could find, a tax collector. Back then, tax collectors were the lowest of the low. They were the scum of the earth. If you were in a pantomime, the tax collector would be when you say boo when he comes on stage. They were considered the worst of sinners by the Jews because of what they did. You see, back then, Israel was under the rule of the Roman Empire and the Jews hated it. And Rome showed that they were in charge by forcing everyone under their rule to give them money, to pay them taxes. And the tax collectors were the Jews that they employ, the Romans employed, to collect taxes from their own people. So they were traitors. That's what the Jews thought, but that's not all, because the tax collectors knew, because they worked for the Romans and had the Roman army behind them, that they could do what they want. That they could charge more than just what Rome asked for in taxes. They could add a little bit for themselves, or maybe more than a little bit for themselves. So then they were not only traitors, but they were thieves as well. And everyone knew it, including Jesus. So after he'd healed the paralytic and forgiven his sins, Jesus goes out and he finds the worst sinner that he could find. And he invites him to follow him. And if that wasn't surprising enough, well, what happened next is even more surprising, because Levi said yes. Levi got up, verse 28, left everything and followed him. I think the first and most wonderful thing we see in this story is that Jesus came to save sinners. When I was a kid, there was a football team near me called Millwall. And if you went to a Millwall match, they always sang the same things. Anyone know the Millwall chant?
We lose every week.
Not we lose every week. No one likes us. We don't care. That's what you'd hear in the Millwall stands. No one likes us. We don't care. And I imagine that the tax collectors back in Jesus' day would sing the same thing. No one likes us. We don't care. No one liked them, but they didn't care because they were rich. No one liked them, but they didn't care because they had the Roman army as bodyguards. But then Jesus came. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting in his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Jesus went out and found him. He went looking for Levi. He cared for him. And so we're told Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And look at what he did next. Verse 29, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. It was a sinner's banquet. Levi invited all his friends, all his sinner mates, to come and have a meal with Jesus. Because he had discovered that Jesus came for sinners. Which is wonderful news, friends. The other day I was talking to a friend of mine about health insurance. Incidentally, you know you're middle-aged when you start talking to your friends about things like health insurance. But anyway, I was talking to my friend about health insurance, and my buddy lives in America where there is no NHS, so they have to get private health insurance. And I was shocked when my friend told me he didn't have any. Why not? I said. Well, he explained, before you can get insurance, you have to go and get a health check, and I want to make sure I'm in shape before I have a health check. In other words, he wanted to get healthy before he got health insurance. And friends, we do the same with God all the time. I want to come back to church, people say to me, and I will, but first I want to get right. First I want to sort myself out. I want to investigate God. I want to get to know Jesus. But first, I need to scrub myself up and be a bit better. But you see, that's not what Jesus says, is it? He says the opposite. That's what Levi discovered. Jesus came for sinners. Not people who used to be sinners. Not people who'd scrubbed themselves up a bit and were no longer sinners. No, Jesus came for sinners. Like you and me and tax collectors. But you see, friends, there's the problem. There's our problem. Because to come to Jesus as a sinner, first you have to admit that you're a sinner. And that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law found so impossible. Look at verse 29 again. It says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees And the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Do you see, if you could put all of humanity on a scale, with the best people, with the best people down one end and the worst people down the other, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had no doubt they would put themselves down this end, and they put people like tax collectors down the other. And everyone else around them did the same thing. First century Jewish culture was pretty much like 21st century Western culture. In our minds, there are good people and there are bad people. There are good people like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and there were bad people like the tax collectors. And I'm sure they didn't think they were perfect, but they knew they weren't like the sinners down the other end. And they certainly wouldn't spend time with those sinners down the other end. They certainly wouldn't sit down and share a meal with them. It says, doesn't it, they were a sect. They were separate. They were different. They were better than other people. And so when Jesus came, the religious leaders assumed that he would put himself up here with them. But he didn't. Not because he wasn't good, but because that is not why he came. Have a look at verse 30 again. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Jesus came for sinners. He came as a doctor for the sick. Jesus put himself, He put himself down here. And friends, some people will never come to Jesus to be saved because they will never admit they are sick. Some people will never come to Jesus to be saved because they'll never admit that even though they're not traitors or thieves or prostitutes or pedophiles or murderers or rapists or terrorists, that in our hearts we are all the same when it comes to God. In our hearts, our biggest problem is the same. We're all sinners. We're all sick. We all need someone to save us. Jesus came for sinners, but some people are too proud to admit that they're sinners who need saving. That's the first reason they wouldn't follow Jesus. The second reason is that Jesus calls us to leave everything. That's what Levi did, isn't it? Verse 27, when Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth, he said, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Levi was at work, right? He was a tax collector in his tax booth. Maybe he was halfway through counting that day's taking. One for Rome, one for me, one for Rome, one for me. He was at work. He had a job. He had a career. A career that meant he had a house big enough and enough money to hold a great banquet for all his friends. Sure, he was hated by many. No one likes us. We don't care. They were just jealous. Jealous of what he had. But you see, Levi was willing to give up all he had to follow Jesus. Maybe they're practicing following Jesus upstairs. I don't know. What's going on? You can ask them later on. And it wasn't just Levi. Just have a quick look back at chapter 5. The first part, the headings, incidentally, in our Bible are not actually in the Bible. They're just there later by the editor to help us work our way around it. But it says the calling of the first disciples at the beginning of chapter 5. And if you look at verse 10, Jesus has met a man called Simon. He's going to be called Peter later on, and also James and John. They're all fishermen. Look at verse 10. It says, "Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything and followed him." When Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to leave everything else behind. If sin means wanting nothing to do with God, well then following Jesus means doing everything for God. And again, as we'll see in a moment, that's great news, but not everyone thinks it is. Not everyone is prepared to do that. Some people, like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, struggle with that. Maybe the Pharisees didn't have the money and the lifestyle that Levi had. I don't know how much they got paid. I doubt they were as wealthy as the tax collectors. But you don't have to be rich in money. They were rich in reputation, weren't they? They were the good guys. Remember? They thought, and everyone else thought, they were the good guys in society. They were the best. If your son became a Pharisee, whoo, you must be a good parent. If your daughter married a Pharisee, oh, you must be delighted. Congratulations. If you had friends who were Pharisee, if you spent time with Pharisees, Jewish society told you you were special. You were doing well. You'd made it. You were an influencer. But then Jesus came. He came to sinners who need saving. He came as a doctor to people who are sick. And if we're going to be healed by Jesus, we have to leave everything behind. We have to stop being the center of our world. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to leave everything. So why would we? Why would anyone? Why did Levi leave everything? Well, I think it's because he realized that it's only when you have Jesus that you really have everything. I think what Levi realized is that if he left everything and chose to follow Jesus, he would gain so much more. In fact, it was only if he left the life that he had made for himself that he would discover real, true, full, wonderful, meaningful life. And he did. You see, I keep calling him Levi, but we don't know him as Levi. Because when he met Jesus, he left his old life and his old name behind. And Jesus gave him a new name. He called him Matthew. And we know him as the disciple who followed Jesus. The disciple who lived his life for Jesus. The disciple who wrote one of the biographies of Jesus we have in the Bible. Jesus gave Levi a whole new life, and Levi, Matthew, never looked back. Why? Because he'd found something better. Better than anything else he had before. He left everything that the world had to offer him, and he gained so much more. But I think there's one more hint hidden in this story about what Levi gained. Let me show you what I mean. Back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 25, it says this: On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He'll remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. It's a prophecy about what will happen one day. Where? In heaven. He's talking about heaven. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says this, "I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." In Revelation chapter 19, a whole book that describes what the world will look like in the end, it says, "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.'" And he added, "These are the true words of God." Again and again and again, the way the Bible chooses to describe heaven is as a feast or as a great banquet. A banquet for sinners who've been forgiven. A banquet for the sick who've found their doctor. Heaven, friends, is a sinner's banquet for everyone. Like Levi, who knows that they're a sinner and has left everything else behind to follow Jesus. It's just like the party that Levi threw for his friends. Friends, do you know the feeling of being healed? The joy of having your cast cut off after weeks or months? Do you know the feeling of the doctor telling you you've got a clean bill of health, you can be discharged, and coming out the hospital and breathing fresh air again? Do you know the feeling of looking forward to going home and sleeping in your own bed and having a solid meal? I think that's how God wants you and me to feel today. And tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, and for eternity. He wants you and me to come to him knowing that we are sinners who need a savior. He wants you and me to come to him knowing that we are sick and we need a doctor. He wants us to come to him and leave everything else behind. All our pride. Anything else we worship. He wants us to come to him and be healed. And follow Jesus. And gain everything. Would you pray with me that God would help us to be like Levi? Sinners who come to their Saviour, the sick who find their doctor, and leave everything to follow him. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in your kindness, please help us not to be like the Pharisees or the teachers of the law. Help us never to think that we don't need a saviour, or that we're better than others, or that our hearts are any less sick when it comes to our relationship with you than anyone else's. Help us instead, we pray, to run to Jesus. Not to wait until we're better or have sorted ourselves out, but to run to him. To leave everything behind, never to count the cost, because following him brings so much more. Help us, we know, we pray, to know the feeling of being healed today, tomorrow, this week, and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love how simple it is. in Luke chapter 5. Sometimes people say to me, Dim, how do you become a Christian? And imagine there's all sort of convoluted sort of answer to that question. It's really just doing what Levi said, getting up and following him. But of course, we spend the rest of our lives working out what that looks like, to give up everything and follow him. But we also spend the rest of our lives working out how it works. How is it possible that me, someone like me, or someone like you, a sinner, can be part of God's family? We'll carry on learning about that for the rest of our lives, but it's the subject of our next and our last song. It tells us some of the story. And in the last two verses, it says this: He, that's Jesus, took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, that's the cross, and suffered and died alone. And then it talks about heaven. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, it'll be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. If you can, friends, let's stand and let's sing.